The North Country gets hundreds of millions of dollars each year in federal funding. That money pays for infrastructure like roads and bridges, upgrades to water and sewer systems, and lots of other projects. And it's our politicians who help to secure that funding. So what if that politician voted against the bill that created that funding in the first place? Should they still take credit for it? Critics of Elise Stefanik say no. We discuss on today's Story of the Day.
Support for Story of the Day comes from Clarkson University, offering over 95 programs of study with campuses in the Hudson Valley, Central, and Northern New York. More at clarkson.edu.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Friday, March 15th, the Ides of March, Phil Lesh's birthday, all that. First up, New York's annual burn ban goes into effect tomorrow, but the risk of wildfires started earlier than usual this year. Lucy Grinden has more.
Every spring, the state bans brush burning for 2 months, from mid-March to mid-May. But this year, even before the ban, the DEC warned people to be extra careful. Forest Ranger Timothy Carpenter spoke online at a DEC press conference late last month.
This year, our concern is that normally we have a snowpack that kind of compresses the fuel and makes them not as available to burn. But without the snowpack, our fuels are much more readily available.
Carpenter said homeowners should avoid burning on sunny, windy days. He also said to be cautious around spreading grass fires, which burn very hot and fast. Wildfire conditions came early this year because the winter was so mild, not a lot of precipitation.
Looking out my window here in Queensbury, and there's not a speck of snow to be seen anywhere.
That's Don Lehman, the Warren County Public Affairs Director. He says wildfires can cause a lot of damage, potentially destroying houses and sheds. And he said people should respect the burn ban, especially in the rural North Country, for the sake of local firefighters.
Forest rangers and volunteer firefighters have to respond to this. And, you know, these firefighters, are most of them around our region, are volunteers. So that means they're leaving work. They're leaving their families and, you know, putting their lives on the line.
Brush fires are banned starting tomorrow. Small campfires, cooking fires, and ceremonial bonfires will still be allowed. But officials say people should watch those fires carefully and put them out completely with water when they're done. Lucy Grinden, North Country Public Radio.
Last November, Lake Placid's one and only thrift store closed. It was a big blow for the community and for the local food pantry, which was partly funded by the thrift. But both are getting a new home in a 3,000-square-foot building to be built this summer. Amy Feireisel reports on the community effort that's making it possible.
In the 1980s, Linda Young started the Ecumenical Charity Program in Lake Placid. For over three decades, the not-for-profit ran a food pantry and a thrift shop from the basement of St. Agnes Church and a tiny two-room building on the shores of Lake Placid. Then, last fall, the Helping Hands thrift shop had to close its doors. Its building was deteriorating, and Linda Young couldn't find another suitable and affordable location. It seemed like the end of a long-running and well-loved resource. But just 4 months later, after a big community push and a lot of collaboration, there are plans to build a new and much bigger home for both the food pantry and thrift store.
We'll be able to put it up this summer, have a new 3,000-square-foot facility that the thrift shop and the food pantry can start using right away.
That's Steve Sama. He's the builder behind Homestead Development Corporation, the affordable housing developer that built Fawn Valley in Lake Placid. He says its mission is to make it possible for essential workers to live in the place they work.
This kind of fits into our mission, too, to help out with putting a new building for them. It's really important that people have access to clothing and furnishings that they can afford to buy. And 38% of Lake Placid school students are food challenged. It really makes a big difference for people to be able to get food. I mean, it's pretty basic.
Sama says a lot of people have come together to make this new building possible. It'll be built on land the Lake Placid School District owns. The Village of Lake Placid and the town of North Elba are both committed to providing money and resources. The Adirondack Foundation is organizing fundraising for the $850,000 project.
It's in the early stages of fundraising, but there's a very high degree of interest on part of a lot of parties.
Homestead Development will construct the building, which it's already ordered from Simplex Homes, a modular building company that Sama knows well.
There's a fair amount of finish work to do, but it'll come in four pieces, basically. and we'll erect it onto a foundation in one day.
In the new space, the thrift store will be able to reopen and expand, reliably funding the food pantry, which currently serves about 50 to 70 households per week. The larger space will also allow the thrift store to accept far more donations and bigger ones like furniture.
The old thrift store didn't have room for anything, and now they're going to have a purpose-built space. The sales from the thrift store go to buying food for the food pantry. So it's kind of a win-win situation.
Sama says they hope to have the thrift and the food pantry in the new space by this fall. Amy Feiereisel, North Country Public Radio.
This week, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik said she helped secure $1.8 million for a water project in Messina. But critics have pushed back, since Stefanik voted against the broader spending bill that will fund most of that project. Emily Russell spoke with Grant Reher, a political science professor from Syracuse University, about how funding is allocated and who gets to take credit.
How important is the advocacy of lawmakers, say like Congresswoman Elise Stefanik or Senators Chuck Schumer or Kirsten Gillibrand, for securing funding for a district like the North Country for specific local projects?
Well, it's very important. Those are the folks that have the most powerful and most influential voices in the budget making process from the standpoint of what happens in the North Country. So you see a great incentive for all three of those folks to want to be able to direct money there. Gillibrand and Schumer, because they're representing the entire state, and Elise Stefanik, because this is her particular district. And so not only is it important for the district that these folks are advocating for that, but they perceive it as very important to them politically that they're able to deliver.
So Congresswoman Stefanik has come forward this week announcing that she secured $1.8 million for a water project in the town of Messina. And there is a record of that in the appropriations list from Congress. But there's a bit more to the story, which is that, you know, $4.5 million of additional money for that project came from the Inflation Reduction Act, which Stefanik voted against. And there's even more money from a loan. So when a member of Congress comes forward and claims to take credit for some of that funding, how does it work when it turns out, you know, they voted against some of the funding that will come for a project like this one?
Yeah, that's the rub in a lot of these. And it's an interesting question. So on the face of it, it seems to be a contradiction. How can you try to claim credit for bringing a source of money into the district when you were not in favor of the policy that made this possible in the first place? But if we think deeper about it, I think it may be less of a contradiction. I think the justification would be, I don't know whether Congressperson Stefanik is going to say this, but the justification usually goes, well, okay, I was against this as a general policy, but if this is the policy that the country is going to live under, then I want my district to benefit from that as much as possible. And so that makes perfect sense. I don't have to be for this as national policy in order to be advocating, okay, now that we have set aside a pot of money for the country, I want my district to get its fair share, or hopefully more than its fair share of that money coming to the people that I represent. So that, I think, is probably the way that they think about it and they see it.
Would this kind of money, like $1.8 million for a water project in Messina, would it come to this district without advocacy from someone like Congresswoman Stefanik?
Well, that's a question I can't answer, because I'd have to know, you know, what all of the other things that are being considered. I would say the answer is probably not. Maybe the way to think about it is, if it was someone other than Elise Stefanik, would they also be advocating for it? There, the answer, I think, is probably yes. Would they be as effective as she is, given her ranking in the House? Probably not. And so voters have to weigh all those things.
That was Grant Reher, a political science professor from Syracuse University, speaking with Emily Russell. We have more news all the time and through the weekend on our website, ncpr.org. Music today by The Currys of Potsdam and Patricia Julian of Burlington. Have a great weekend. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.